This is the best of RSN Central, so thanks for listening. And don't forget to join us from Monday to Friday on RSN 927 from 10:30 to 1. And if you miss anything from RSN Central, head to our website at rsn.net.au or subscribe to RSN Central on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts and iHeartRadio.
RSN Central, brought to you by TAB. Long may we play. Gamble responsibly. Gambler's Help, 1-800-858-858.
Homicide Williams, good morning to you.
Good morning. What's going on?
Oh, it's been a long time between drinks, really.
You miss me?
Yeah, I did miss you. I can understand why the NBL have to have a week off between the home and away season and the first week of the finals because there is World Cup matches, is that qualifying matches or international matches that need to be played?
Yeah, there was a FIBA window break, so Boomers played and New Zealand played as well.
So we've had to wait for a week, but it'll start tomorrow night when Perth take on Cairns.
Huge. We are down to the business end of the season. The best part of the year. The creme de la creme will rise. Who will that be?
You're tipping a clean sweep in both final series?
No, I did not say that. Okay. You're tipping that. That's not me.
Yeah.
Sydney Kings will get the broom out. What's the best broom brand?
Okay. I don't know.
In the country. The broom they're going to use.
Budding's broom.
To sweep.
Yeah.
Melbourne United. I think Melbourne United got into the finals, but based off of what I've seen this season, Casperboy averages 30 points per game, shooting the three at 60%. Thank you. And Sydney Kings have owned Melbourne United and took the series 3-1.
Yep.
Three wins, 2-1 loss. There is no way.
No way.
Sydney Kings are not sweeping and advancing to the grand finals.
Do you think Melbourne might have learned a little bit from their losses against Sydney Kings in the regular season, and they've basically got nothing really to lose? I know they were expected to finish a lot higher on the table and not have to fight for their final spot, but probably 2 weeks out before finals, we thought they couldn't make it. Now they're in, they've got nothing to lose. Sydney got the pressure on them, top of the table. They can just play some attacking basketball, get the job done defensively, and maybe cause a little bit of an upset.
Well, a couple of things. A team with nothing to lose
is dangerous.
It's Cairns tight pants.
Okay.
Okay. Melbourne United is a successful franchise. All right. So nothing to lose does not sit tight with them. Casper Ware was stolen. Think about this series. Casper Ware was stolen from the Sydney Kings. Well, by the Sydney Kings. Okay. He's come back. And every time he plays well, it's against his former team. He's had good games. This is an elite point guard. Ever since he's touched the shores of this country, he's dominated this league. He means business. I don't know if there's anything Melbourne United can do to stop Casper Ware. I think if they double him, they are so balanced and so deep. That's going to be even more pressure on Melbourne United's defense. You take the ball out of his hand, he can kick it around the perimeter. These guys can hit. You know what I mean? Like, who do you help off of? So, I just think that it's just going to be too much depth. And he just wants to, like, kill them single-handedly. He wants to kill them. So, I just don't see anybody being able to stop him. They haven't stopped him all year. So how all of a sudden you're going to stop a guy that's averaging 30 and shooting the ball 60% from the three? So you know what I mean? Like how do you stop that? Shea Ellie is going to have his hands filled. One hell of a defender. But he is going to have his hands filled guarding Casper Ware. Mitch McCarron, it's going to be his job as well. He's going to have his hands full. Not to mention, Bogut has been resting. So the dynamic shift.
Yeah.
And the Sydney Kings, I feel, is going to click into a whole nother gear in this final series matchup.
I'm tipping an upset. I think Melbourne can.
Oh, my what?
Yeah, I think Melbourne can go to Sydney and get the job done.
I mean, look, here's what I'm going to say.
I think Golding will just, he'll go mad.
Chris Golden is a flat-out stud.
Yes.
He steps up at big times. He's a champion. He's a proven winner. Right? He's the heart and soul of this team. He's going to have to play. He's going to have to be CG43, which I have no doubt he will. That ain't the issue. David Barlow is going to be big.
Yes.
These are the guys that have been there before when they won the championship.
Correct.
Melo Trimble hasn't been to the playoffs. This is his first time. Hasn't won in this league. Sean Long, who I love, haven't won in this league. No. So that part of it is different. They don't have anybody on that team that can put the backpack on their back, everybody jump on, come on my shoulders, and let me ride this thing home. Guess where that guy is?
Injured.
In Sydney.
Yeah.
Well, Casey, in Sydney. Casper Ware.
Casey Prather could have done
Casey
that.
Casey Prather is out.
Yeah.
We can't even talk about him right now because he's been out the whole year pretty much. And believe me, if he was this year, if he was active and healthy,
that would have been,
this is a completely different story.
Yeah. I just hope Melbourne can turn up and defeat Sydney at home. And if they do that, then they come back and they're the favourites to win that series. But I know they've got their job in front of them. Sydney have been the best side all year. They've completely outplayed Melbourne nearly on every occasion.
How can they win?
Yeah, so but they
in every facet of the game in four games.
Yes.
They've outplayed them. How can they win?
It's a different ball game. Finals, pressure. I think they're playing better than they were when they play them during the regular season.
You are as good as the point guard on your team, my man. Pressure. What is Casper Ware going to do against his former team? That's what this whole thing is going to come down to. All right?
And that's the story, I guess, with Perth and Sydney if they do meet.
Hello?
Bryce Cotton always plays better than Casper. I know they're not.
You want to talk about that right now?
No, we'll wait to see if they can get the job done.
I mean, we can talk about that series matchup I'm talking about regarding Cairns versus Perth.
Yes.
Tell me when you're ready to talk about that.
Well, Perth will win that.
Tell me when you're ready to talk about it.
We'll talk about it now. Perth at $1.37 at home in the first game. They take on Cairns at $3.15.
Perth Wildcats will not only win that game, they'll win that series. It won't be a sweep.
Okay, so 2-1.
2-1.
They win both their games in Perth.
You have to remember this. Your biggest advantage for any team in finals is what?
Home court
advantage. RAC Arena, the Red Army, is going to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
MVP of the league is Bryce Cotton. Fans MVP is Scott Machado. Two players that have had a brilliant seasons. And the best man got it. But guess who he's matching up against? The defensive player of the year, DJ Newbill. Let's not forget, he makes things a little bit difficult for Bryce Cotton. Nobody stops Cotton. Cotton is the only man that stops Cotton. However, he's made it a bit difficult for him whenever they matched up. Cotton will go to another level.
Yeah. And so will
enter
White.
Tariqa White.
Yeah.
Enter Clint Steindl, who's shooting the ball well. Enter Plumlee. Let's not forget Nick Kay.
Star.
The depth alone at that front court positions will wear down the Cairns Taipans. That's where they lose the series.
Is it an advantage for Sydney in a way and Melbourne? Because they only have to jump on a plane and it's only an hour away. When Perth and Cairns for their series, like it's a 6 or 7 hour road trip.
Look here, man. This is why you make finals. There ain't no complaining.
No.
You've done it all year. Are you showing up when it's time for jump ball? Nobody's talking about flights.
No. Well, I'm just saying, it might be in the
Nobody is talking about flights when it's time to play. Money's on the line. Your game's on the line.
So who's your
This team? Is where your name gets etched in stone or forgotten about.
How do you think Bogut will go? This is a question from Tom.
I think Bogut, what's this series right now?
This series.
Bogut will be fine.
Can he be the player that's the difference in this final series?
To be honest with you, it's not even up to him. He's just going to continue to rim protect. That's all he needs to do.
Yep.
You know, for me, I think Sean Long needs the ball more. The only time they won against Sydney, Sean Long had a huge game, like 23 and like 16 or something like that. He has to have a big game, which means he needs a lot of touches. So Bogut is playing defense. Again, Bogut doesn't play defense. Doesn't have to because the way the defensive scheme is set up, he doesn't have to step out and set and defend the perimeter. That was my whole thing. I already said, if their scheme defensively changes when they see the Perth Wildcats, which they will, Sidney Kings will win it.
Okay.
But I don't believe they're going to change that scheme that much for him to be protected defensively and keep protecting the rim. He can't do both for five games. Yeah. He can't do both.
So it will be after this weekend or after the final series, the semi-final series in the NBL. It'll be Sydney hosting Perth in the grand final series with the home court advantage, best of five.
Bryce Cotton could win on any court.
Yeah. So
Perth Wildcats could win on any court. Home court advantage does not matter with the Perth Wildcats in that matchup.
Okay.
So we're going to save that conversation for next week.
So Perth to get the job done.
Yep.
In this NBL season to win another title. Remarkable sporting organization as they, I think this is their 36th straight finals appearance.
Whatever it is, it's a whole lot.
Now, Homicide, what about the NBA? First of all, I want to touch on Monday morning, our time. The tributes for Kobe Bryant at the service there in LA. And I thought Michael Jordan spoke so well.
Michael Jordan, the GOAT, has spoken. He doesn't speak a lot.
He doesn't, does he?
Nah, but as he said, Kobe was his little brother. And it was so much more about life as opposed to the game with their relationship. So, well said. You know, he cried, he sobbed like a lot of people. And, you know, he loved them. He really loved them, respected his little brother. And it's just very unfortunate.
And it's when you listen to Michael Jordan and how close they were and how he respected Kobe for the work he did, especially on the basketball court, because he wanted to be the best possible basketballer that he could be.
The closest thing to Mike
was Kobe.
The killer instinct.
Yeah.
The hunger, the desire to be great. Straight hard work and the will to win. There's a lot of people that have those characteristics but haven't won as many as Kobe and Mike.
What about now when you have a look at the NBA market for the championship? Milwaukee, for the first time this season with the Tab, are the favorites to win the championship. They've replaced both LA sites. Does that surprise you?
No, when you're 50-8, that's incredible. That is absolutely incredible. However, they're not winning.
You're still with the Lakers?
Still with the Lakers.
I'm with the Clippers. I think Lenny can get the job done.
RSN Central, brought to you by Tab. Long may we play. Gamble responsibly. Gambler's Help, 1-800-858-858.
Welcome back to RSN Central on this Thursday morning, and he has arrived today, Mickey Barley. Of course, we're in Tasmania yesterday. Mickey, good morning.
A day too late, Gareth, but I'm back, and glad you made it back from Tasmania, safe and sound.
I tell you what, mate, I've got a lot of friends over in Perth, and I wouldn't go there for at least maybe 3 or 4 weeks.
Who? You wouldn't?
No, you.
No, yeah, I'd nearly agree with you there. Yesterday was a tough day for me in the media landscape over in Western Australia. But
so what did you do? Just explain to our audience. You bagged your former football club.
Well, I didn't bag them, mate. I probably had an opinion. It's what we try and do in the media. I've actually started my own radio venture with former teammate of mine, Lee Spur, who we came out with some bold predictions around the season ahead and around those West Australian teams. And I've just made a little statement that, well, initially, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think Fremantle will struggle this year. And I think they're...
finished last.
Well, I went with that. Mm. How I would validate it is I think they're in the bottom four and contending out with that last spot with probably Gold Coast, Adelaide, a team that... we better be careful. We've got a couple of Adelaide Stars on tomorrow, so we don't want to cause too much of a ruckus with that. But I think they'll be a developing year for Fremantle. And I did say in this radio show that I think they can make the eight as soon as next year. Okay. So there is call. Hey, that didn't get mentioned in the article over in the West Australian, though.
Well, Mickey, you've turned into the Cancons of WA media already, and one of your great
in
mates.
One day, yeah, in one day.
Former teammate and a superstar for the great side, the Brisbane Lions. Lachie Neal's about to join us here on RSN Central. Good morning to you, Lock. Thanks for joining us.
No worries at all, guys. Thanks for having me, and feel sorry for you, Mick. I know how crazy those WA fans can be.
Oh, they can be, mate. You left the club, you left them in the lurch, and they still love you over there. I make one statement that I think they'll be just mediocre this year, but good the next year, and they just jump all over me, mate. Yeah, how did you find it when you left Fremantle?
Oh, I wouldn't say they love me, mate. I don't know where you pulled that from. Although I didn't touch the ball much when I went over there, I got booed every time I did. So.
hey, Lockie, how do you think? What do you think of former players? And this is I'm not just saying this because Mick is here, but former players that go into the media, and when they're into the media, they need to have an opinion. That's what they get paid for. Do you like that, or do you just think it's part of the game these days?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is part of the game. You see it a lot. A lot of former players have really good opinions and a really good knowledge of the game, so that's why they get the jobs in the media a lot of the time. So I really enjoy the media side of the game and do a little bit of it myself. So, yeah, certainly don't hold any grudges against people that have opinions, that's for sure.
And one example of that around your club going into this season was Kane Corns, actually, wasn't he? Was a bit pessimistic about the view of the Lions for 2020, and you came out and said, mate, come and have a look at what we do. How did all that evolve and play out when he actually came to Launceston or Tasmania and had a look at your training?
Yeah, I actually got asked about it on radio a couple of times. I hadn't heard it, and then got it played to me, and I think Fags saw it and just said, oh, do you know him? I said, yeah, I played a little bit of footy with him at Glenelg when he got dropped from Port Adelaide for a couple of weeks. So got to play with Kane for a couple of games, and so I know him a little bit, and I just shot him a text and said, Fags wants you to come down and just have a look. And he did, and he was pretty impressed, I think, from what I read afterwards. But Fags wasn't doing it in a malicious way. He wasn't angry or upset. I just think he thought Kane hadn't spent much time around the footy club and probably not in Brisbane at all, so come down to Tassie and have a look at the way we operate.
And I think that's been a really impressive element of the Brisbane Lions and a refreshing element of what they've brought to the competition in that space over the last 12 to 18 months. They look like they're enjoying it and embracing this, I suppose, now the new title of being a contender and being a team that wants to absorb the pressure of being a high performer. Is that accurate, Lock?
Yeah, I reckon. We can't control what people say about us. So we'd rather them talk about us being a good side than a bad side, and we embrace that and try not to let it affect us in any way. But you've certainly got to enjoy your footy, and you'd rather be having the media talk about how well you're going than how poor you're going. So certainly embrace that side of it.
Hey, Lockie, have you enjoyed being in Brisbane out of the AFL bubble in a way?
Yeah, I have. It's been a big change up from Perth, as Mick can attest to. Bit of a footy bubble over there, two teams in a footy dominant state, so they can't get enough of it over there. And Brizzy in Queensland, it's mainly rugby. I'm not too familiar with rugby myself, so rugby league, rugby union, I think it's rugby league more here in Brizzy. But I think once we started winning some games, the Brizzy fans sort of jump back on the Brisbane people, the population here, they jump on and start coming back to the Gabba, which was great for us and great for the footy club. So certainly saw a shift towards the back end of last year, even halfway through. Just walking around, grabbing a coffee, people were saying g'day a lot more than they did in the pre-season, that's for sure.
And that's a bit of a misconception, I think, at times in Queensland and in rugby league states, New South Wales, Queensland, that they are the heartland of that sport. When Sydney are up and going, and even when they're not going so well, they get bigger crowds, double the crowds of what the biggest NRL clubs do, and Brisbane Lions, when they're up and going, you know, really match the Broncos. So must be a really proud aspect of the last 12 months, you've only been there for the 12 months, but how you've emerged so quickly from, I think it was five-win season to a top four. Take us inside the camp throughout that run and the belief and what you felt was a real change from what might have been there previously.
Yeah, I think when I walked through the doors, Mick, it was a really happy and bubbly place. You wouldn't know that they've come off sort of two seasons in a row where they've only won five games. They felt like they were heading in the right direction, and so did I. And I came at a pretty good time to jump in to a top four finish. But certainly in the early stages, I think we won the first three and then had a couple of big sort of blowout losses, and people might have thought, oh, here come the Brisbane of old coming back, and it's going to be another wasted season and whatnot. But the coaching staff, led by Chris Fagan, obviously, sort of pointed out some areas that we need to improve in those couple of games, and we were able to do that for a bit. And then once we had the bye, came back and got on a bit of a roll after the bye, which was really nice. I think we won nine in a row straight after that break. So it was obviously a happy place to be around, but the thing for me is even when we lost, the feel around the place didn't change at all. It was pretty consistent throughout the year, which was great.
We're talking to Brisbane Lions star Lachie Neale here on RSN Central. Hey, look, when you first arrived there, obviously you're a football club that wanted to rise up the ladder. When did you think that group started to really believe that you could be a contender in that competition?
Well, I reckon they thought that they were going to improve a fair bit after the 2018 season. Whether they thought they'd be able to make finals or not, I'm not too sure. But it was probably, I think it was a run of two away games against GWS and Port Adelaide away, both of those games. And both of those grounds are pretty hostile. GWS obviously made the grand final, so they're a great side. And Port Adelaide at Adelaide Oval, always a tough ask no matter where they are on the ladder. And I think they were pretty much a top eight side at that stage of the season, or very close to it. So to go to Sydney one week and then Adelaide the next and win those, and I think it gave us three or four in a row. I think that's when the boys probably thought, oh, here we go, we're half a chance here.
And now we've got you in preparation for a huge event Friday night. All-Stars versus Vic. You're just packing your bags at the moment to head to Melbourne to play in that game. This must be a real career highlight for you.
Yeah, it is. It's an absolute honour to play in this game alongside some of the greats, and it's obviously for a great cause. So hopefully we can raise a lot of money for those affected and do our bit in helping those people. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It should be a great experience.
And Nat Fyfe was seen rolling through the airport last night like some sort of absolute rock star, is the quote getting thrown around Melbourne at the moment. Are you looking forward to playing under a former mentor of yours?
Yeah, it would be good to play with Fyfe again. It hasn't actually been that long, but I know what a star he is, and two-time Brownlow medalist now. So any time you get to pull on the jumper and play alongside him, it's a pleasure. So I'll probably be in awe a bit of the stuff he does and some of the others I'm playing with. I don't think I'll have to do too much. The boys will take care of it, I reckon.
How competitive do you think it will be, Lachie, when the Ballers bounce there tomorrow night at Marvel Stadium?
Yeah, I think it'll be pretty competitive. I haven't had a briefing on it or anything, but we're gearing up for round one. It's only a few weeks away, so I think it'd be a waste of game time if the boys didn't put in a fair bit of effort. So I think you'll see a pretty tough contest.
And you're going to have the likes of Cripps, Fyfe and Neale. I think you're going to be the most important player in there when the ball hits the ground, with the height on those two, and maybe your vertical challenged aspect of your game. You might be pretty good when that ball hits the deck.
Yeah, hopefully. That's my game most weeks, Mickey. So hopefully the big boys bash and crash and it drops to the ground, and I'm pretty close to that area, so I can pick it up a little bit quicker than maybe those boys can.
Who do you want to play on?
Who do I want to play on?
Yeah.
No one.
Well, I think that's going to be the theme. Oh, you said you haven't been briefed, and I'm sensing, we just chatted about this last week, Phil Davis, we had him on the program anticipating his selection. Like, it was a bit awkward, but he didn't get picked. So we had him on, and probably in hindsight, not a bad thing for a fullback in a game like this where we anticipate the midfielders are just going to probably run their own race. I noticed that they haven't picked a defensive midfielder for either side. So I think you should have at least 40 along with everyone else hit through the midfield and put those back six for both teams under a bit of pressure.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can put the Vic Spastics under a lot of pressure and get it inside. It looks like a pretty dangerous forward line that we've got. So I'm looking forward to playing with some of those guys. I think you just got to get it in there and they'll do the rest.
And I asked this of Phil last week, being a South Australian, Phil Davis. You're South Australian yourself. You're playing for the All-Star team, and you know the age-old debate has become, you know, when is State of Origin returning? And Victoria, yep, they get to don the big V. You're wearing the All-Star jumper for a great cause. But going forward, how special would it be for an opportunity to represent South Australia and put on that jumper against the Victoria?
Yeah, it'd be great. I'd love to represent South Australia at some stage. I'm a proud South Australian, and I think it'd be awesome to bring that concept back into the game. Whether it happens or not, I'm not too sure. But, yeah, I'd love to do that in the future. That'd be great.
And, like, just before we let you go, was Mickey Barlow hardly treated, well, like by Ross Lyon? He's still dirty that he sacked him.
That's not true. That's not true.
No comment.
No comment, he said.
I missed the first bit of that question. I just heard that Mick was filthy with Ross. I didn't actually hear the first bit.
Oh, I just said he's just filthy because he got sacked still. He thought there was at least another 50 games left in him at the Dockers.
Yeah, there probably was, but he played a couple at the Suns, so
yeah.
You can't complain. Yeah. How many did you end up playing at the Suns, Mick?
15 pretty memorable ones, mate.
Yeah. You finished with 20-odd, didn't you?
Keep going, mate. 35. just an average day at the park for you. But no, I finished with 35, albeit in a 102-point loss to Geelong. So,
Right.
I went all right.
Well, Lockie, the best of luck tomorrow night. Can you buy Dane Sorko's coffees? Because I think he got fined around 20-odd thousand, 30,000 last year.
$4,000, I think, was it?
Now he's got another $2,500 to kick off 2020. So he's basically nearly playing for free.
How is the health and well-being of the trainer that was absolutely obliterated in that contest?
Yeah, she's okay. She had a bit of a lump on the side of her head, but no signs of concussion, which is good for her.
All right, mate. Good luck tomorrow night against the Vics. It should be a great match. Mm. It's terrific to see it. State of Origin back anyway for a wonderful cause. And it'll be terrific, I think, to watch the best players go at it.
Yeah, it'll be good, Gareth. And I'll just let Lock know. I'll catch up with you. Are you staying at... I won't actually say where you're staying, but I think I know where you're staying. Fifey and I, and I'm just going to drop a couple of names.
How many names do you want to drop today?
Just go down towards Albert Park and walk three or four holes illegally tomorrow.
Okay.
You can come along to that.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Legally, I said, right, not then. Illegally.
Make sure you get a photo for his social media platform so we really know that Mick, you think Mick's a good mate.
Just to prove it. I'll get Mick to chuck it on his Instagram story. And what do? You retweet it.
Yeah, he's got a couple of blue ticks. But anyway, all right. Thanks, Lock. Good man.
No worries. See you guys. Thanks.
He's a good player, Lockie Neal.
RSN Central, brought to you by TAB. Long may we play. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers Help, 1-800-858-858.
Topic of conversation today is, who would you prefer? Lance Franklin when he was at his best, or Wayne Carey? We just had a chat about their records. Both superstars. I've got Carey by a nose from Lance Franklin. Matty Never, what about you?
Morning, Gareth. Well, it's very difficult for me because I was quite young when Carey was in the prime of his career. So I can only go off what I've seen. And gee whiz, if he was better than Franklin, then he was a serious player. I've still got Lance Franklin as the best player to watch live in the competition that I've ever seen. He's my favourite player to go and watch from another club. Like, he's the sort of player I'd go to the football to watch him rather than the actual match.
Yeah.
Because he captivates the audience and he's just so dynamic. Look, I've got no idea. I think it's an impossible question to answer, but Franklin's is right up the top for me.
What about the Champions League overnight? Some upset results there.
Yeah, big news this morning with Man City coming from a goal down to knock off Manchester City in that match at the Bernabeu. So that's a big win for them away from home in the first leg of that clash, especially when they were down 1-0. They've also decided to appeal that ban on their, obviously, ability to play in the Champions League for the next couple of seasons as well. So that came on the same day, so a really big and important day.
So they played Man City.
Real Madrid, correct, yep.
So they won 2-1 there.
Yep.
Barcelona drew with Napoli, Juventus, and Leon. Well, Juventus went down, so Ronaldo's got some work to do.
Correct. A lot of those games were yesterday as well. Well, Chelsea was yesterday. They got belted. Yep. Most of the action was yesterday in the Champions League.
And Liverpool needed to have a big victory when they meet Atletico at home in their second leg after going down in their first leg.
Correct. Probably the first time all season that they've been really challenged. So whether or not Jurgen Klopp's men can overcome an obstacle, we'll find out, won't we?
What about the cricket last night? The Aussies played some really good cricket to win their series in that T20 competition against South Africa.
Yeah, they took that one out 2-1. Look, to be honest, I think across the three matches, they were clearly the better side. I don't know how they lost that second match, really. They should never have lost that. And they'll be pretty happy with the way they wrapped things up last night. Another half century to David Warner. Steve Smith batting at number 5 came in and had a little cameo, just sort of re-establishing and reminding everyone of his importance in the T20 side as well. I think they're an absolute force to be reckoned with heading towards the World T20 later in the year.
You're happy with their side that they've got at the moment?
Well, I am, to be honest. I think it's pretty stacked, especially as a top six. I think Maxwell comes into the side for Mitch Marsh, but outside of that, I can't really see any faults, can you?
No, I think if they play their best cricket at the right time, they can definitely win that World Cup.
Just so much firepower. Yeah.
Just Eddie Maguire gets another 3 years as the Collingwood president. That was announced there last night.
Hardly a surprise.
No. What an amazing stay as the boss of that football club.
What other sort of reigns come to mind when you think of
Alex Ferguson?
Kevin Sheedy. The Bombers was there for a long time.
Greg Popovich of the Spurs.
Yes.
Bill Belichick of the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. We'll probably look back on Alistair Clarkson as having a similar sort of reign as well.
And just before we let you go, Maria Sharapova.
She's called it a day, Gareth, the 5-time Grand Slam champion, former world number one, has officially retired from tennis. Yeah. It's been a difficult time for her ever since her comeback from that drug suspension.
Yeah.
And she's never really captured her best form since then. And it's probably the right time to hang up the racket. But she has been a champion of the sport.
Gee, man, T20 isn't cricket.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not.
I think it's nearly my most... from test cricket when you play in the Ashes, and like real test cricket I like. But I enjoy the tactical battle in T20 cricket these days.
It's number 3 for me. Yeah.
Kerry, for mine, big time player in finals. There you go. So Kerry is about 10-0 up at the moment, apart from you. Franklin.
It's impossible for me to actually say that Kerry's better because I didn't really get much of an opportunity to see him.
Okay. So you're that young.
Yes, I guess I am.
How are you going? Are you getting a game in the seniors this year?
We'll find out in a couple of weeks.
Any practice matches?
2 weeks' time.
Okay, how's the pre-season form been, Hornet?
We trained in Melbourne last night, Gareth, at Yarraville. Okay. The boys made the trek down to Melbourne to show the commitment levels that the Melbourne boys make going to back to Ballarat every week. So it was good to get the boys down here and do a bit of a session.
So did you get paid for the petrol that you used? You're a North Ballarat football club side. Why do you have to train in Melbourne?
Because our oval was booked out, and like I said, our coach wanted to remind everyone of the commitment levels that the Melbourne boys make travelling up.
Well, they're probably getting 2,000 a game. I would travel down to Ballarat for that much as well.
No, mate, we all play for the love at North. We're a very tight-knit group.
I could definitely get you $500 at a couple of country football clubs.
Is that it?
Yeah. Well, mate, you can't get a game the first in the half. Seniors. You're playing in the Magoos
but you're talking
at the moment.
A different, completely different league.
Well, you probably need to step up and you rate yourself down back. So it'd be fascinating to see if you can actually walk the walk after talking the talk.
I'll play if you play, Gareth.
Well, I can't play. I keep doing my hamstring, but I'll be interested to see if North Ballarat actually give you a game.
So will I.
And it'd be a bloody disgrace if they don't. Especially all the publicity that they've been getting. In fact, we might send the cameras down to the Magoos if you start there this year.
Oh, yeah. What cameras?
Yeah. Thank you, Maddie.
Thanks, Gareth.